You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
It's the end of the road for so-called golden visas in Australia. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. Will Bain in for Leanna Byrne today. Thanks so much for kicking off your week with us. Yeah, Australia has axed its so-called golden visa program, which granted wealthy overseas investors the right to live in the country. Designed to attract foreign business, it was cut in an immigration overhaul after the government said it found it was delivering poor economic outcomes. The BBC's Katie Silver has more.
So basically, Australia is saying that they're going to stop taking applications for golden visas, which allow wealthy investors to live in the country. It was first introduced back in 2012, and so they were really targeted at Chinese national. About 20,000 of the 26,000 visas that were taken up were taken so by Chinese people. But basically, they've made the decision to do away with these visas, something they were quite popular back in about 2012. Many Western countries around the world had them. But now we've seen more and more countries choose to get rid of them. Basically, many countries, for example, finding that they're associated with things like corrupt money, money laundering, that sort of thing. And so Australia, as I say, becoming the latest country to get rid of these visas.
I guess it perhaps leads to an interesting question, though, Katie, about where we are in terms of Australia's relationship with China, of course, one of its biggest trading partners.
Absolutely. And things under the current government, the Albanese government, have improved dramatically there. Of course, under his predecessor, Scott Morrison, we saw that was really when the relationship started to take a much more sour turn. We saw Australia, for example, calling for an inquiry into the origins of the COVID pandemic. We saw China slapping sanctions and import bans on a number of different Australian goods. Recently, we've seen things hugely improve on this front. But I guess when it comes to these golden visas, there was definitely the feeling that they were not all they were cracked up to be. For example, the Productivity Commission, which is a government body in Australia, it found it actually led to people with less business acumen moving there. It led to a trivial amount of foreign investment. And in fact, the tax concessions offered to these wealthy individuals were so bad that Australians were basically paying them to move there.
Our Asia business correspondent, Katie Silver, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Will.
Let's check in on the numbers then for the first time this week. Yeah, and a pretty mixed picture in Asian markets this morning. Japan's Nikkei continues its hot streak, up more than 1.5%. But elsewhere, the Hang Seng in Hong Kong and the Shanghai Composite Index both closed down. Bright-ish start in Europe to begin the week. Stocks in London, Frankfurt, Paris all edged up between 0.1% and 0.4%. A month-long fishing ban comes into force off the French Atlantic coast today. It affects all boats over 8 metres long, fishing with most kinds of net. It's been put in place to protect dolphins, as more and more have been washing up on French beaches, as the BBC's Hugh Schofield reports.
It's the first time since World War II that there's been such an extensive fishing ban in the Bay of Biscay, with some 450 French boats, and many non-French ones too, confined to port or obliged to seek their catch elsewhere. Environmentalist groups that brought the legal action that led to the ban are delighted. They say that the number of dolphins being caught in nets and dying, mainly at this time of year, is increasing dramatically. Around 1,300 dolphins washed up on French beaches last winter, but that, say the groups, is only a fraction of the number that are killed.
That's the BBC's Hugh Schofield reporting from Paris there. Now, did you know Bolivia is the world's biggest exporter of Brazil nuts? The South American nation produces 75% of the world's supply, but the industry's facing challenges, as the BBC's Jane Chambers has been finding out.
The hot and humid Amazon rainforest in the Pando region of northern Bolivia is where the vast majority of Brazil nuts are grown in the wild with no pesticides. Harvesting the produce isn't for the faint-hearted.
In November and December, the nuts start to fall from the trees and it's dangerous. When the wind starts, you have to take cover, because if you get struck by one, it can kill you.
To get to the nuts, workers use a machete to split the hard outer shell, which is known as a pod and looks a bit like a coconut.
It's the rainy season, so as well as using machetes to get the gnats, we need them to kill the snakes, which are around at this time of the year and can bite us.
Juan Carlos is one of 15,000 people who work in Bolivia's Brazil nut sector. Nut collectors earn around $390 a month, which is a good wage, but that varies depending on the international market, and the work's seasonal. River Alta is a bustling city in the Beni region, next door to the Pando region, where the nuts are gathered and sent by truck to one of the many processing plants here. I'm off to have a tour. That's the sound of mountains of nuts coming down a metal funnel, and there are different plastic boxes in front of us where they've been sorted. So you've got the whole ones in one, the ones that are slightly broken in others. Elsa Bedis is the Associate Director at Free World Trading, a UK and Europe-based company which buys nuts from around the world. She's a product manager for Brazil Nut Kernels and has been visiting River Alta for the last 10 years.
There's a big drive over the past couple of years from the export market, mainly in Europe, to look below processor level about the provenance. Where does the product come from? Who are the communities that source our nuts and how are their working conditions? And we see a real growing demand from them to get a supply chain, what we call field to forks.
Despite working conditions improving, for some, volatile prices are an issue. Nut producer Jorge Henzo says for the past few years, it's been impossible to make money from the harvest.
It costs 90 bolivianos, which is around $13, to get a box of Brazil nuts from the forest to the processing plant. And that represents a loss for us, because supposedly prices in the international market have fallen. And now we can't cover our costs.
Elsa thinks that keeping prices stable and raising awareness about Brazil nuts is vital for the market.
It has a huge, huge importance on the livelihood of the people that live in, particularly in northern Bolivia, and also on the protection of the Amazon, because by receiving an income for the nuts that they collect and gather from the rainforest, they have no incentive to cut the trees down and log it for other forms of income to, I don't know, for cattle or for soya. So it really gives them a reason to care for the forest.
She says that the world needs to recognise that the Brazil nut producers are the guardians of the Amazon rainforest. I'm the BBC's Jane Chambers for Marketplace.
Plenty more stories just like that in our podcast. Remember, it's available every day. Just search for the Marketplace Morning Report wherever you get yours from. I'm Will Bain with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks so much for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Gres, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.